Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Welcome to Beer Army Engaged. It's Mick Dagger here. And what you, it isn't going to work if you're not talking, General.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I think, you know, it's kind of stupid when you think the general. You know, what is up with that? The general. That doesn't really work. Because if you just say, hey, it's the general.
I'm going to call you G then. What up, G?
G. Awesome. Yeah, no, actually, isn't it supposed to be like Sergeant Mick Dagger or something? Don't we have to throw a rank in there or something? No?
I'm no longer in the service, man.
You're in the Army.
That would have been Staff Sergeant.
Oh,
Mick Dagger.
Yeah, but you crazy the Army guys, man. Everything's sergeant. Guy could be a freaking sergeant first class, tech sergeant, whatever. And everything's sergeant. I don't get that.
Yeah, it's a blanket statement.
Yeah, I mean, you try that in the Marine Corps with a gunny or something or a mass sergeant. It's like, hey, sergeant. It doesn't work too
well. It doesn't work well at all. Well, welcome. Finally get you in the studio here. It's awesome to bring back Beer Army Engaged and bring it back in a different way.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And have you in here so I can lay into you for giving me the name Mick Dagger.
No, I know last year when we tried to launch this whole crazy cockamamie scheme, actually, I think it was your crazy idea. The whole premise, I think, was for you and I to do something together. But being an active duty Marine and doing everything else I had in my life, it just didn't work out. And so we were trying to pull in other people to facilitate that. And I'm so stoked. I'm so excited to finally kick off this project, I guess. You know, we got to have some kind of cool black call letter name or something, like, you know, military spec ops or black project or, you know.
Need to keep our identities anonymous.
Exactly.
For our radio chatter.
Actually, after seeing that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, maybe wear one of those little.
You do that. You, know, you do. Yeah. Mask, yeah. You know, go ahead. You go ahead. Yeah. I'll take pictures. Let me know how those job interviews go wearing that.
You just got to roll with it, man. You got to roll with it.
Well, congratulations on retiring.
Awesome.
And building an awesome company while you were still active duty in the Marine Corps. It's absolutely amazing. Beer Army, there's so much, a lot of people don't know about it unless they've invested the time, have either been to the outpost, gotten to know you, or have spent time on the website diving into the research. But that's not even enough of a platform to really dive into how it started, what it's grown to, and everything else. That's why I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah, no, I think we'll talk about it later in the show, I guess. I think you got some questions. Yeah, I think you got some questions you want to murder me on about, you know, the beginnings of Beer Army and why, what, when, and how. And
yeah, no, in its entirety, it's beer and an army because a legion of people that enjoy beer. If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army.
Yeah, if you drink beer, you're in the Beer Army, period.
But we have in front of us a delicious, tasty beer, and it's a great way to kick off bringing back Beer Army Engaged, drinking Heroes Never Die.
Yeah, Heroes Never Die from Beer Army Combat Brewery. Yeah, obviously, it might sound like we're pimping ourselves out, but, you know, the first show and again, talking about why Beer Army, and this beer is really a memorial beer. Again, not to go into the segment later on too much, but we created this beer for those to memorialize all those that are never coming back. I mean, there was specifically one person, and he was really the catalyst of why I started Beer Army. And I'll talk about that later, but this beer is really for all those that are never coming back, for all the walking wounded who I considered living memorials, you know, guys, whether they have prosthetics or not, whether, you know, PTSD or whatever other issues. To me, they're a legacy. They're a testament to what this country's made of, what it's been built of.
Yeah.
And really, that's what it is. So, you know, Heroes Never Die. Everybody has an IPA, an India Pale Ale, and we wanted ours to be truly exceptional. And Jeff Brungard, who is our brewing officer, did a great job. I do have to give props to Matt John. He was our assistant brewer for a while. And Matt really redefined to me what hops can be. He had a pale ale that was dry hopped, and that thing was better than most IPAs I've ever had. And I was just blown away. I was like, holy smoke. So I'm not sure who gets the credit on this beer. I know they both put a lot of sweat equity into it, but it's a great beer. And you know, a lot of breweries out there are doing West Coast style IPAs. We call this an East Coast IPA. I would say it's more of an English style IPA where it's more balanced. So the
And what's the difference?
Well, you know,
between English and a West Coast.
Yeah, well, you know, an American style West Coast, it's like they hop it up to the bejesus to the international bittering units, IBUs or whatever, until like literally the feels like the enamel on your teeth is just coming off. And
yeah, and your salivary glands explode.
And while I like those types of beers, a lot of people I think out there think, oh, if I throw a lot of hops in, it makes a great IPA, and that's not necessarily so. And I mean, because I've had a lot of bad West Coast type IPAs. I mean, there's some that are really phenomenal. But what I really like is the English style more, where they're more balanced with the malt. And I think that's what ours is. It's very balanced. It probably won't win any awards going up against other IPAs, but it's very drinkable. I think it's an IPA that you can drink a six pack of it.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. And I'll be honest, man, you know, I ran from IPAs like it was a virus or something.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know, the palated hops just didn't fit well with me, but my beer journey led me to like them, some more than others, but this is one, and you're right, you hit the nail on the head. I will drink this regularly.
And we came up, a lot of people like the name, and they're like, where did you come up with that name or whatever? And it really, it's, again, a tribute to, when I think about, it kind of blows me away in this country. We don't realize it, especially for those who've never served, have been overseas and been to third world countries where, you know, running water is a luxury, or having a floor in your house is a luxury, or electricity that works. And
hot chow.
Yeah, hot chow. Yeah, that's not packaged in a bag and has a shelf-stable life of 20 years or something like that.
It stops you up for a week and a half to 2 weeks.
You're speaking from experience, it sounds like.
Good Lord.
Well, I'm about to save that for another show, I think.
Yeah. Hey, man, pack it in and pack it out.
Yeah,
but more than likely, you're going to...
But when I think about a lot of people, what they consider heroes in this country, you know, to me, sports stars, rock stars, hey, while they're all great and they do a lot of great things, are they a hero per se? I mean, I think maybe they might be role models if they're good examples. But to me, a hero is somebody that goes out and does something that's selfless, something that's above and beyond what would be normally expected of an individual. And somebody that serves in an all-volunteer military force like we do here in the States, you know, taking on defending this country as your personal responsibility, to me, there's no higher calling as a fellow citizen, you know, just to be like awed, like, wow. And, you know, I would take it one step further. It doesn't necessarily need to be the military. It could be, you know, your firefighters, your police officers, teachers, you know, county, state government workers. It's just somebody that's giving back to the community, whether it's directly or indirectly, again, putting, something else greater than themselves first. You know, those are heroes. And when I think about different influential people in my life, I think even when they do pass away, like my grandfather was pretty instrumental in my life, they never really die because you carry them here in your heart.
Yeah.
And even when you're screwing up, you know, you kind of feel like they're kind of watching over you, whether you believe in God or not, doesn't really matter. But you kind of feel like, you know, that they're watching over you, like, you know, better than that, you know, and you're just like, you kind of feel shame, and, you know, you sit in the penalty box, I feel shame, you know, and to me, that's where I mean when they say they never die, that, yeah, physically maybe they have, but they're what they stand for, their essence, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, it always lives on.
You're right. I mean, it lives on through
what you do as an individual lives on too.
Well, they leave an impression on you, and it's one of those things, and you never know when that hero is going to step up. And I mean, yeah, and comparing sports stars to heroes, I don't agree with that myself personally, because the heroes that I've seen are the ones that you didn't know what they were going to do when something happened.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know yourself what you were going to do. But the ones that stepped up and did what needed to be done, not even knowing they had the ability to do that, or fought through the fear or whatever. It's one of those things, and it's a great tribute, because it's a tribute to those that have put themselves in the gap.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, when you throw yourself at that,
yeah,
you know, and that's the other thing too, is I don't want people to come and take away like, oh, so he's talking about charging a machine gun. No, when you look at just everyday life is hard. And, you know, there's a guy that I like to call Murph, and the man, I'm sure we'll probably talk about him at some point, too. And
oh, we will.
He can be a son of a bitch. I mean, you know, just a real asshole. And any given day, your Murphy is totally different than my Murphy. But, you know, the greatest successes that we have in life might seem so trivial to other people, you know. And, you know, for some people who are elderly, maybe just getting up out of bed, you know, that's their greatest challenge of the day, or feeding themselves, or tying their shoelaces, or something like that. And that's a great triumph, you know, and you know, to be self-sufficient like that and not rely on, you know, another family member. I'm sure that family member is starting thinking, hey, that's my hero for the day because, you know, and, you know, and I think there's something to be said for that. So,
well, there is. And it's a great beer to realizing and diving into it that way. It's a great beer to drink, especially if I know I'll be having one in tribute when I have one of those days where I'm thinking about people in the past. It's my go-to,
man. Yeah, no, it's awesome. I'm glad that we're able to debut it on our first show of Beer Army Engage. So,
well, check it out and try it and keep your asses right where they are, because we'll be diving into our kick-ass logo for Beer Army Engage and a history of Beer Army. So don't go anywhere.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
I'll tell you, I'm excited. I've been chomping at the bit to get into talking about Beer Army Engaged's new logo. We've revamped the podcast, and I'll tell you, oh, you got to check this out. Dustin, man, you held off. You kept teasing me about this, and you held off, and then finally showed it to me, and it was everything I was hoping it would be.
Yeah, no, it's a badass logo. The if anybody's been following us leading up to the debut of this first episode, they'll see the two trailers that you and I made. The yeah. one with me yeah. loading rounds, and the other one where you're
psycho son of a bitch.
The other one where you're coming in with the radio flyer, and I got to give it up to Snotty Scott there for coming up with the I don't know what the hell you call that when you write the dialogue, or what do you call that crap?
Screenwriter.
Well,
I don't know. Well, scriptwriter.
I'm not from Hollywood, dude.
Scott and his wonderful screenplay.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Beer Army Engage trailer number one.
It is amazing how he just kind of threw that together and said, "Hey, I want you to say this or do this." And yeah, I thought those things came out great. I thought they were hilarious, and so they kind of were giving hints to the overall logo. And you know, when I thought about, you know, well, first of all, it was kind of like, what do we want out of this show, you know, and what do we want to accomplish. Yeah. And I know you and I, we kind of talked about last year when we tried to debut it for the first time, but it's kind of hard when two guys collaborate on something and then the one, i.e. you go off and do it, and the other guy, i.e. me, just doesn't show up and says, "Hey, dude, you got to figure it out," or whatever. And that doesn't really set you up for success. And so my bad.
Wait a minute. No, it's not your bad. I mean, honestly, you have to factor in the dynamic, all right? You're a major in the Marine Corps, active duty, multiple responsibilities. You're growing a newly opened brewery.
Yeah.
You're planning for the Great American Beer Festival.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You have all these things, and you just wrapped up one beer festival, and you were in the planning stages for another beer festival.
That's right.
So, seriously, man.
Oh, you know what? And I do have that thing.
Let me go chit-chat with that crazy dude I call Mick Dagger.
Yeah, no, and then, of course, there's that whole family thing.
Well, that, you know, too, yeah. Like,
what the heck, man? Where did that come from, you know? I don't know.
It's like, but all of a sudden you just had a family?
Yeah. No, it's like, yeah, I got a wife and four kids, man.
I was single,
man,
yesterday. Now I have a wife and four kids.
It was like a little Chia Pet thing, you know? You kind of plant them, put water on, and all of a sudden it was like instant family or something. I don't know. Throw them in a microwave and, you know.
How much, like, beer have you been drinking?
Not enough, man. Obviously, I'm hanging out with you with no shoes and no socks on, so, you know.
Well, it's great to have you here regardless, man.
Yeah, awesome.
Because this is something we did. We collaborated and thought this would be something great to bring to people. And it's nice. And over the past year, as things have evolved, we did it the way we did it before. And then realizing and putting our heads together again, we realized, man, there's a little more to it. It's Beer Army isn't just solely about beer. It's a lifestyle brand.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the one thing that is the catalyst for so many other things.
Yeah, no, I think it's covered in, you know, kind of like our mantra when we say, you know, you drink beer, you're in the Beer Army. It's not... You know, we started Beer Army. We didn't have a beer bar or a bottle shop or even our own beers, you know, our own brewery or whatever. It was really about promoting beer and beer in general. And it wasn't about being snobbish either and, you know, bashing on macros. You know, the bottom line is if you drink beer, you're in the Beer Army. And that's how we looked at it. And we still look at it like that. And so for this show, Beer Army Engaged, to me, it's about embracing the fact that you're a beer drinker, regardless of what brand you are. how it breaks down social barriers. And that doesn't mean that I'm talking about going playing beer pong or getting drunk or find yourself in the gutter.
Never had a better conversation over Flip Cup, man.
But it's really amazing how beer, you know, 300-400 years ago, if you wanted the news, if you wanted the politics, if you wanted to hear what was going on, you went to a pub.
Yeah.
You went to a bar or whatever, and that's where you heard, that's where you got the word of what's going on in the world. And the other cool thing is it broke down, when I say break down social barriers, I'm talking about blue collar and white collar, how, you know, a beer is kind of considered a working man's drink, but, you know, it transcends, especially craft beer, it transcends all levels. And, you know, we have, I think, Heath Perkins, he was our sales officer for a while. He ditched us, either that or Lagunitas stole him from us. But no, he's a great guy, and Lagunitas is a great brand, and they do great things, and they have a lot of philanthropy and a very great philanthropic mindset. But you know, I was talking to him, and this is on the early stages when the Outpost, our beer bar and bottle shop, was open, and I saw two guys sitting on the other end of the bar on a corner. They weren't sitting next to each other. One was very what I would call, I guess Southern aristocrat is the politically correct way to say redneck or whatever. Because
Southern aristocrat.
Yeah,
okay,
when I say redneck, I say that with peace and love, you know, and to steal something from old Howard Stern there, peace and love, baby. You know,
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but yeah, I would say that, and then kind of like, I don't know what's the other PC term for the San Francisco
hippie.
Yeah, hippie. You know,
it's not so PC, is it?
I don't know what it is. But anyway, so these two individuals are just sitting there, just drinking a beer.
No, call them Northwestern Esoterics. I don't know.
Esoterics.
It's my next band, man.
Nice. No, and they were just sitting there and they're drinking and having a beer, having a pint. And the one thing you'll see if you ever come by our beer bar, our bottle shop, is that we don't have a bunch of TVs. We deliberately do that on purpose because we don't want any distractions. It's all about communicating with each other. You know, it's like Facebook analog style, you know, and we have board games and we have darts and we have foosball and the air hockey, bubble hockey thing.
Yeah.
But it forces you have to interact with each other. And so I was talking to Heath to see how business was going, those two guys. And during my conversation with him, I could see over his shoulder, one of them says, you know, obviously you get too much silence and it's like, hey, what are you drinking over there? And that's exactly what he asked the other guy. And he's like, oh, I'm drinking so-and-so. And of course, the other guy's like, well, is it okay? And yeah, it's not bad. And of course, then there's like 10 minutes or 10 seconds of silence. And so the other guy, I think, felt obliged to say, well, what are you drinking? You know, and, you know, same thing went back and forth. And before you know it, I was hanging out with Heath for about 2 hours there. But during that 2 hours, those guys moved, you know, kind of like next to each other, kitty corner or whatever, bought each other a couple of rounds. They made a new best friend. They walked out. They, you know, it was good for us because they spent like $30 each, you know, so it was great on their beer tab. So good for us. But more importantly, they made a new friend. And I think that's the beauty about Beer Army. And so, you know, I don't want to say followers or fans of Beer Army, but I call them the soldiers of Beer Army.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
They spread the word big time, man.
So, and you know, guerrilla marketing is a big piece of what we are. And so I look at this show, an extension of that, and I'm so excited, and I know we'll talk about in future shows, but about our foundation. So really we have a for-profit, and then we have a non-profit, and the Beer Army Foundation is our non-profit. And as we have grown, the origins of Beer Army was always more non-profit related, raising money for charity, and we still do a lot of that. But as we have grown, the requirement was there where we needed to get more organized and create our own non-profit, 501c3 charity type entity. As more and more money flows through us to other, you know, charities or other charitable organizations or good causes, it gives us more flexibility. Not to mention, we don't have to pay taxes on that kind of stuff, which allows us to donate more of that money to charities and to worthy causes. So, you know, Beer Army Engage, the show, it's about, you know, two dudes, you know, you and me, and sitting down and.
Well, it's gonna get real fun. It's gonna be real fun, and it's one of these things. This is more background right now for everybody, and it's important background. I think understanding the foundation of this, understanding the what we're all about. I want people to have an idea of what they're getting when they hear the word Beer Army.
Yeah, no, I mean, in the next segment, I want to talk about that. We'll definitely talk about a little bit more because I think we'll capture that more. But, you know, to get back to what the show is, it's about entertaining. It's about letting people escape from their life, you know, for 30 or 45 minutes, you know, a week or whatever, to download this, take it with you, take us with you. And, you know, and hopefully we make you laugh. That's the whole idea. And we're not going to be just talking about beer reviews or beer. It's not going to be just beer specific all the time. I mean, we're always going to be drinking beer and we're using the show to promote our foundation and stuff like that, obviously. And,
well, if they want a good laugh, they need to see the logo for Beer Army Engage.
So getting back to the logo, though, I definitely wanted to talk about this because this logo is actually a spinoff during my deployment to Afghanistan back in 2001.
You never told me that.
No, there was a Calvin and Hobbes. Somebody had painted on the side of their CH-53, which is one of our heavy, you know, helo lift birds in the Marine Corps. And this thing was painted on the door. It was Calvin and Hobbes in a radio flyer. And it said natural born killers. Because, you know, us Marines, we got to have something scary and dark, you know.
And yet funny at the same time.
But funny at the same time with Calvin and Hobbes. And so I saw that or I had that for a long time ago. And then we used different artists, freelance artists, to do different graphics, illustration stuff for Beer Army over the years. And there was this guy that I met back in Quantico. He was a sergeant. His name was Kenny Farmer. And he was responsible for pretty much what you see in the Beer Army logo today, the whole dog face thing, even though, and I'll talk about our logo at probably some other show later on, and he took it and really evolved it to another level,
man,
and
made it,
you know, I think really, really just kick ass. And so Kenny actually created the Brewburn Beer Fest logos. For those that know Brewburn and have seen that bear logo, he created that logo for us. And then he had some personal things that happened in his life. He got out of the Marine Corps, moved back to Oregon. Some stuff happened that was kind of heavy for him, and he just had to like disconnect from the world. And so 2011 was the last opportunity I had to really work with him.
Really?
Yeah. And I mean, the guy is just
3 years.
Yeah, exactly. So when we were coming up with this logo idea, I guess I wasn't really collaborating with you. I was kind of keeping it to myself.
Yeah, you totally kept it to yourself.
I was trying to think of really cool ideas of like.
Jerk.
You know, Army paraphernalia or related symbology or whatnot. And I kept coming back because each artist, I think, has a very unique style, you know, and how they either draw or, you know, do illustrations or whatever. And so I hadn't talked to him in a while, and I contacted him. I'm like, hey, Kenny, I said, dude, I need you. You know, I basically said, I need you on the wall, man. I need you for this logo. I said, you know, we have other people I could pitch this job to, but I just know. And turns out he moved, like, you know, again, he was having things going on in his life. Well, I think he was trying to get away from all that. So he moved to New York City, man. So he's like living in Brooklyn now.
Why would you move to the city that never sleeps to get away from it all?
He was in Oregon and, you know, and I'm sorry, Oregon. You know, I always say Oregon and people always correct me, but Oregon. And I guess, you know, getting on the other side of the country or whatever. But when I met him, he was known as War Machine and War Machine Graphics.
It's probably good that he changed his name.
Yeah, no. He went by that for a while. And I thought it was a badass like name. And he had like this cool little logo and everything else like that. But I think when the second Iron Man came out and they debuted War Machine, because he was a big comic book fan, too. And I think he probably thought maybe people were going to knock off. And I'm just putting words in his mouth because I really don't know. One of these days I'm going to ask him, and maybe we should have him on the show at some point because he's a really, really cool guy. So his last name was Farmer. So he changed it to F-Bomb Graphics. And he was going with that for a while. And I thought that was pretty cool, too. I still liked War Machine better. But now he's up in Brooklyn. He's doing comic book illustration. And I believe... You okay? What are you doing?
Don't laugh and take a drink of an IPA at the same time.
So you're trying to drink through your nose?
I'm tearing up here, man.
You're drinking through your nose.
I don't know what happened.
How many times I got to tell you?
Don't I started drink laughing. Your nose. I took a drink and I started laughing, and everything got all screwed up.
How many times I got to tell you?
I'm crying here, General. I'm crying. Jesus, I got tears.
Are you done?
Ah,
you gonna be okay?
I'm having a moment here.
Do we need a first aid kit?
No, we don't need a first aid kit, but wow, that was, I don't know what's worse. That weird feeling in my chest from, like, laughing and drinking at the same time. I think it would have been better to have it come out my nose.
So you were trying to breathe and drink?
I don't know what I was doing. I don't know. All I know is I started laughing.
I look over there, and you got all, like, computers and knobs and all this other stuff. Maybe you shouldn't try to multitask.
Ugh. It has nothing to do with multitasking, man. Nothing to do with that.
Maybe if you would have wore safety glasses.
Well,
I don't know. Yeah, that wouldn't really help, though.
Hey, I'm about to take a drink of beer. I better put on my safety glasses.
I don't know, dude. I've heard stories about you. So, but anyways, real quick, because I know you got a break, but I just back to Kenny though. So he's out in Brooklyn and he's doing comic book illustration. But if you need anybody, I mean, I'll let the logo speak for itself when you're looking at it. If you need anybody to do some graphic illustration, definitely look him up. He's not cheap, but he'll definitely do a bang up job. So yeah, Kenny Farmer, and just like Farmer John and Kenny as in Kenny Rogers. So
well, he nailed the cheesiness that can be me.
Well, you know, and I don't know if we can talk about that other job of yours.
And your inner anger.
Yeah, my inner anger. Can we talk about that other job of yours? Are we allowed to? I don't know, but you always...
I've worked in radio for years. I've been all over. I've done different things.
Well, I mean, you know, you're known as the driver.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I may have a show on a radio station in North Carolina, but...
But you drive a vehicle on that. You know,
yeah,
you talk about driving a vehicle, and so I thought it was very appropriate for you to be driving a radio flyer. Actually, can we say radio flyer?
You can say it. We're not trying to claim we're our creation. I invented a radio flyer.
Yo, it's 25 cents for every single time you say the word radio flyer. Actually, it's 50. 25 cents for each word. No, I don't know.
Well, shoot, I should charge you a nickel every time you say my name.
Awesome, good idea.
He's
actually
getting out his wallet.
Yeah.
It's about time. We'll be back. We've got more to get to, and I really appreciate you listening to Beer Army Engaged. It's back, and it's better than ever.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org. On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army Radio.
We're back here, and I'm still trying to get out of it, Dustin, the history of Beer Army. I think it's very important. I know it, but I want Dustin to tell it, being as he's the guy that created Beer Army. This awesomeness we're all exposed to in all the facets of it, through charity, through awesome, delicious beers, exposed to people, and the awesome beers Beer Army creates. Man, you are a man of many talents.
I think I'm going to put that on my business card, the guy.
The guy.
But with a D-A, like the guy.
The guy. Ellipses. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Right.
Bada bing.
No, I got some questions for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to bite your lip for a second, but I got some questions for you. I know the answer, but I want you to tell everybody else.
Yeah.
How did Beer Army get started?
Yeah, so back in 2006, I left for a one-year deployment to Iraq to be a combat advisor for the 1st Iraqi Army Division. And that's a lot. That's just basically advising Iraqis, trying to turn them into a professional military fighting force. If people can recall back in that time frame, or for those that maybe don't really remember what's going on, that time period is when right before the surge in Iraq was really kind of going south. And so we were doing the surge. We're getting ready to do that surge. And so we actually entered in country a little bit before that point. So basically it's us, you know, living with Iraqis for a year and try to make them best way I can describe it is professional fighting force or whatever. And
it's a hell of a challenge.
Yeah, it was a very austere environment. I would say mentally more than physically, because, you know, being a Marine and you know, I've had deployments to Afghanistan and other places. I mean, I've been on five continents on this rock we call Earth. So you know, we never seem to go in any cool places. It always seems to be like, you know, it's not like France or Italy or Germany or anything like that. It's always third world countries with, you know, bare necessities. So anyways, early on that tour, there was a guy that I knew. His name was Todd Siebert. He was a captain at the time. And Todd wasn't like a best friend. He was just a friend. You know, like, I'm sure like you were in the Army, you got a lot of friends, right? And like, you might not see him for a year, and then all of a sudden you cross paths, and it's like you pick up right where you left off. Hey, dude, what's up? You know, and you can have beers and, you know, and talk about whatever. And we were lieutenants together, part of the first forces in Afghanistan back in 01, right after September 11th attacks. We went to EWS together, which was Expeditionary Warfare School. We were both enlisted. We were both married, and we both had, you know, one son, one daughter. There was a lot of similarities. We had a lot of things in common or whatever. And, you know, early on in that tour, he came in as part of 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines, which was our coalition partner unit. Basically, if Iraq was to go to hell in a handbasket, that was a unit that we would need to egress to be able to get safely out of country. That was pretty much the game plan. you know, because there's only a handful of us on this advisor team, you know, trying to advise, you know, well, see, a division, it's like 20, I don't know, over 2,000 Iraqis or whatever total when you look at the whole Iraqi Army division. But
there's very few of you.
Right, exactly. I mean, there, you know, the word was it that Al-Qaeda had a $25,000 bounty on our heads. There was, you know, we heard stories from other advisor teams how, you know, guys almost got kidnapped or whatever and, you know, just crazy stuff. And so you always walked around with a Condition 1 weapon, which is a weapon that was all you had to do is click off safe and you can pull the trigger and you're starting to fire. And so you always had your pistol on you usually, even if you didn't have any other equipment on, you always had that on you. And then we always had lots of weapons, you know. It was just really weird because all my deployments up to that point, you're with a traditional, you know, American unit. You have an armory, have an accountability for ammo and weapons. But I mean, we had readily accessibility to AK-47s and ammo and grenades. And, you know, it was like something, I swear, like a Vietnam movie. But so anyways, he was the operations officer for 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines, which was ironic because we were part of 3-6's lieutenants together in Afghanistan. So I go back to Iraq before him, but I'm part of this, you know, this MIT team, military transition team, but basically a combat advisor. And then he was our coalition partner unit. And then early on in that tour, he was killed in action coming out of Ramadi when an 82 millimeter mortar just hit his vehicle. And I mean, the odds of that happening was just, and I just remember the next day or that morning we were briefing with our Iraqis, and then that came across through our combat operations center, our COC, and the radio watch said that, you know, the operations officer for 3-6 was just killed. His call sign was Comanche 3 or 03. And, you know, that's like over the radios because you don't use names, you know, you don't save people's names. And it's brevity and everything. And I just remember like who say, you know, say again your last, you know, because you don't say repeat because that's already shooting another, you know, because I was like, that can't be. Because the first thing is an operations officer in an infantry battalion is pretty next to the battalion commander. I mean, he's literally, you know, he is very valuable. That's not a if it was a chessboard, that's not a piece you put on the board to get taken, you know, sacrificially or anything like that. So it was like, how the hell did that happen? And I just, you know, and I just was like, what the hell? Anyways, regardless, I lost friends before him and I've lost friends after him, but for some reason it was a catalyst. And 10 days later, we were doing an operation in the what they call the shark fin area, which was between Habaniya and Fallujah, but south of that.
I've been there.
And
shithole.
Yeah, and we were doing I don't know if you want to call it a cordon knock or, you know, doing a soft search type thing, but we had intel rolling up some bad guys, doing some interrogation. And this is like exactly 10 days later. And there's a picture of it, and it's on our website on beerarmy.org. And if you click on the About Us, and you can read about us, and you'll
picture
see that.
Two of you walking.
Yeah, my interpreter, call sign Jaguar, because they always give themselves these really cute little pet names or whatever. And he was like a 19-year-old, you know, who knew, you know, he wasn't a U.S. citizen or anything. He was just an Iraqi who knew a lot of English. And we paid those guys pretty good for Iraqi standards anyways. And, you know, and he was like, Sadie, and that's, you know, Arabic for sir. You know, you helped me get to the States one day to pursue the American dream. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, Jaguar, let me see what I can do. And that's what that picture is that you're looking at. If you go to our website, me looking over to him saying, yeah, let me see what I can do. But in my mind, I was like, man, you know, fuck this. It's time for me to like pursue my American dream. And for me, my American dream was, you know, beer. I consider myself kind of a beer aficionado, a home brewer, a beer judge. You know, I've done all that stuff. I enjoy it. Even though, well, I haven't brewed a batch of beer in probably 2 years because my life's been pretty busy with Beer Army. But, you know, I don't consider myself a beer snob at all. But just, you know, a beer enthusiast, I would say. I definitely don't consider myself an expert because I think there's no such thing as an expert per se. I think there's people that have more knowledge than others. But I think you're pretty arrogant if you consider yourself an expert. And so the cool thing about that picture is that it was actually captured, that actual moment. I mean, granted, I didn't think Beer Army. I just knew that I was going to do something. I was going to start thinking about my exit strategy from the Marine Corps because I had about 15 years in. I pretty much made up my mind right then that 20 and I'm out. Because the Marine Corps was fun for me up to that point. And I just think some of the innocence, and you know, you want to ask yourself, okay, you're a captain in the Marine Corps. You've been through multiple tours already of combat. How can you be so innocent or how can you be naive? But when you get high enough in the rank structure, you start seeing how political it starts getting. And you start to realize like, man, maybe I am just a number. And that what felt like a brotherhood doesn't feel as much as a brotherhood anymore. And, you know, when it's no, I mean, not that going to war is fun per se, or, you know, or being involved in taking lives or being responsible for that, whether it's directly or indirectly. I mean, that's not baggage you want to put on anybody, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just hard to, I don't even want to go into it too much because it's just, it's a lot of baggage psychologically. I think I still carry with
but that,
myself.
That moment was
it's actually captured.
Yeah.
And it was my turret gunner. And unfortunately, the bad thing is that my turret gunner was later on killed, Sergeant Ski. And, he was a great guy, but the fact that he had that picture and he gave it to me and he's like, "Hey, I got this picture." And it was just, it was really cool. And if you want to hear about Sarnsky, what happened to him, definitely go again to our brarmy.org to bow at us, because I kind of talk about it in the footnote section, because it's really tragic what happened to him. But so anyways, you know, I rotate back to the world. You know, I almost resigned my commission. I was so bitter and pissed off. And I think that probably sums it up for a lot of guys, you know, that have been through there and, you know, chewed on the dirt and got the T-shirt. And but I decided to, you know, stay in because I felt like I still had some unfinished business to do. In the Marine Corps, I still felt like I had something to offer. And but I started working on Beer Army. And when we used to get together, the group of guys, some of the guys from the team, we would go over to another buddy's house that was also on the team and play poker, try to steal each other's money and drink my homebrew. And, you know, the only thing better about a Marine is that they're brutally honest. But the only thing better than a regular Marine is a inebriated Marine. I mean, they'll be brutally honest and tell you what they their likes or dislikes or what they think.
Yeah.
And so that's made me a better brewer here and there, constructive criticism. And I'm putting air quotes when I say constructive. And I started loosely calling us the Beer Army. And, you know,
well, I bet they love that as Marines, right?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like,
why do you got to pick Army?
Well, the thing is, they just laughed at it because it wasn't like this bigger organization that we have today. It was just, you know, a group of guys get together a month, maybe two times a month, try to steal each other's money and poker and drink homebrew. But I started calling us the Beer Army, and it was kind of, you know, kind of ha ha ha. And then I launched a website, informational beer enthusiast website. And I used Beer Army because beerarmy.com was available. You know, godaddy.com. Hey, GoDaddy, if you liked the plug I just gave you, please send us some money to help pay for the show. But no, so go on there. And it's like, it was available. I'm like, sweet. So I took it and I just ran with it. But I have gotten a ration of shit from a lot of Marines since then. Like, why the hell would you call your freaking company Army anything, you know? And I know you're in the Army and I'm the Marine Corps. And, we, you know, we have a sister service rivalry, you know, but, you know, when you're, yeah, when the shit's hitting the fan, I mean, you don't have that. I mean, obviously, we're all, you know, from the U.S., we're Americans. We're
I have my own issues with the Army. I preferred some parts of the Army over others. And I like to be in that part rather than the big machine.
When you say other parts, was it, is there like
no,
a co-ed
I like,
part?
No, or? Well, yeah, that wouldn't that be great?
Hey, it's college.
No. No, I just that special that small team special operations side. I was fortunate to spend time on majority of my time in the military was I like that. That yeah. was very similar to the Marine Corps. It was you relied wholeheartedly.
Hold
on your teammates.
Hold on. I'm writing down this note. Next episode interview Mick.
Yeah,
because that sounds interesting. Because I don't know. You know what? I need to hear more about.
I'm surprised. I thought I told you.
So, you know, so we started Beer Army and then with that and we had the informational website and then I knew or I thought, you know, like, I really want to, you know, every homebrewer, I think, aspires to have their own brewery one day. I don't know why, but I think that's always like a hidden, you know, like dream, you know, one day. And so I was looking at the landscape of Eastern North Carolina because my wife and I decided this is where we were going to retire when we were done with the Marine Corps. We're going to stay in this area. And the problem is, back in 2008, it was a very macro environment. What I mean by that, it was very Bud Miller Coors. And again, I'm not bashing on those, but when I have to drive as a beer enthusiast 2 hours to get to the closest bottle shop or beer bar, you know, or go to a beer festival, that to me, that's kind of like, that's bullshit, you know? And so then I started evaluating, well, why is that? You know, and we only had, like, at that time, two breweries and two brew pubs in the entire 18,000 miles of square miles of Eastern North Carolina, whereas you go to Raleigh or Asheville, you know, they got 6, 7, 8 breweries all within, you know, a couple miles. And you're like, well, this is bullshit. And so I, you know, I was bitching about it while I was playing poker. And, you know, the nice thing about, again, I don't even think you need to be a Marine or a soldier or Navy, you know, sailor, airman. I think if you're just in the military, it's habitual where if you start bitching about something and if they're really good friends of yours, they're going to say, you know, put up or shut up. And, you know, and that's basically what happens. One of them said, you know what, Dustin, why don't you shut the fuck up and do something about it? And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do about it? And they're like, why don't you put on one of these beer festivals you're always going to? Because whether I was judging at a homebrew contest or whether I was going to another beer festival, it's just Dustin's beer stuff, you know, and that's all they knew. And so I was like, oh, yeah, ha, ha, ha. But the thing is, that was a Saturday night, and I'm sure if I went back to calendar, I can pinpoint it, but that planted the seed. And within 24 hours, I had a hasty business plan how to put on a beer festival. And, you know, and I wanted to try to, you know, do something for charity, too, because I think it's important to do something that's selfless. You know, it's kind of like what I've learned in the military, but just trying to apply it to your community. And we teamed up with Hope for the Warriors that first year, and we launched the first Brew Burn Beer Fest. And it was a huge success. And so from there, I took that business plan and turned it into a three-phase business strategy, and it went something like this. It was, we need to create a huge craft beer following, a beer enthusiast following. And then from there, you know, people are going to these beer festivals, and this is great, but where can I get this beer? And when Walmart's your biggest selection of craft beer, that's a problem.
Yeah, yeah, know? Yeah, it is.
And so we launched phase two of our master plan, you know, as I diabolically, just in diabolically, as I kind of rub my hands. Jesus.
It's a good thing. That, diabolically.
Thank God that this is just radio, you know, and they can't, you know, there's no camera. But
that was creepy, man.
It was creepy what I did with my hands right
there. Diabolically.
Yeah, exactly.
What is diabotic?
I don't know.
God. An evil diabetic?
Something like that. But phase two of our plan was we launched a beer bar in the bottle shop called the Beer Army Outpost. And that was a huge success. And that, absolutely, you know, allowed us to execute phase three, which is launch our brewery, Beer Army Combat Brewery. And then as this organization grew, the requirement was there where we were still doing a lot of philanthropy, but it was kind of confusing to the consumer. You know, like, are you a nonprofit or you're for profit? So we have beerarmy.com, which is our for profit, you know, enterprises. And then what this show is about and supporting is our nonprofit, which is beerarmy.org, which is the Beer Army Foundation, doing our nonprofit 501c3 charitable type givings and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, for those that want to know more about the foundation, I definitely recommend go to beerarmy.org and you'll see what our mission statement is and our vision statement is. And I think it's a very aggressive. But I think it's important. And as we have grown and because of the show, I now view us more of a lifestyle brand, and I really got to give it to you because,
well, I don't know about that. I just made an observation with everything that you had put on the table.
Well, I think you labeled it correctly. Right. You know, I didn't really think about
I'll take the credit.
I mean, I was going with that because people were identifying themselves as being part of the Beer Army before we even had a brewery, you know, or any of that stuff. And I think that's really the cool thing about us. I know you've said it before, you know, on your different, you know, shows that you have. And you know, one of the beauties of us is that we just don't pimp ourselves out. It's about pimping beer, you know, in its entirety. Again, whether it's a macro or a micro or, you know, import, doesn't really matter, you know. And if you drink beer, you're in the Beer Army. So,
well, there's no shame in the beer in front of you, whatever it is. Yeah.
And that's the beauty about beer is that what I like and what you like, I might think what you drink sucks, and you might think the same thing about me, but guess what? We're both right, you know?
Yeah.
And the commonality is that we're both drinking beer, you know? And it's kind of like religion, you know, in a way. And, you know, I don't want to get blasphemous over here and say, what would Jesus do or anything? But, you know, I do thank God every day for beer. I will state that. But, you know, when I look at religion, you know, Christianity now, and I'm a God-fearing guy, so I think I can get away with saying this, but sometimes when I look at Christian religion, they're so focused on their individuality, you know, like I'm a Catholic or I'm a Baptist or I'm a Lutheran, or it's like, do you believe in God? You know, get back to the basics. Well, it's the same thing here. Do you drink beer? Okay. And it's pretty easy to find beer and what it is, you know, and if you drink that, you're in the Beer Army, you know, and I think you should be able to cross platforms easily. When it's really hot and I'm on the beach and, you know, I'm really thirsty, I'm a Coors Light type guy. I drink it iced in a can, and, you know, I try to drink it before the mountains are no longer blue, you know, because after that, it doesn't taste good. You know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that's really the Beer Army, and where we're going is kind of, you know, reinforcing that lifestyle brand that if you drink beer, you're in the Beer Army. And, you know, seeing people and how they identify with that. And, you know, if I had to pull a thread, I would say, you look at how it was back in the 60s or 70s or even the 80s, you know, I'm a Bud guy or I'm a Coors guy or I'm a Miller guy because they had these billion-dollar ad budgets. But craft brewers over the last, you know, decade and a half really have changed it up, and people are, they don't really identify themselves with any one brewery anymore, you know.
It's a style.
Right. And so what is that? It's like people are like identifying with the product, which is beer. And I think, you know, Beer Army, we're poised Well, because we've been instrumental in the industry, I think, for a long time. I think we've helped grown it here in Eastern North Carolina. I'm not going to take all the credit. We're not going to take all the credit. But I think we've definitely done a lot to move that football down the field a little bit more. And, you know, and I just think that, you know, the beauty is in the name. That's why we trademarked it, Beer Army. So for those of you who are using it, you're supposed to technically be using a circle R on there, but and paying us a quarter for every time you use it. No,
either that or go back to Dustin's beer stuff.
Yeah, Dustin's beer stuff. But, you know, everybody understands what the word beer is, and everybody understands what the word Army is. So,
well, I mean, it's exciting. And as on the lifestyle end of things, that's why we're here. And that's where we're going to be diving into. The show's going to involve not only beer and feature different beers at times, but as well diving into charities we think you need to be aware of, or charities that are just doing great things, and as well just the lifestyle and people that enjoy great beer and the different and varied things that they do. So
no, definitely. I definitely, again, recommend people, again, go to beerarmy.org, read our mission statement, read our vision statement. Our vision statement is pretty aggressive. We got a 3-year campaign that we're getting ready to kick off in 2015. We want to fund and award 50 partial scholarships to aspiring degree-seeking students looking to go to either community college or to the state university system in the areas of the communities that support us. We're looking to create 500 volunteer opportunities for people to get involved in their communities. And we're looking to generate over $500,000 of economic impact, again, to the communities that support us. So, you know, it might seem like, okay, how the hell are these guys doing that or whatever? But, you know, it's just finding win-win scenarios. And because I truly believe that when you create those, you know, because if somebody loses in an equation, it's not going to last. And I think the reason why Beer Army has lasted as long as it has, and I truly believe will continue to do so, is because it's not just a brick and mortar thing. It's not just one beer product. It's bigger than that. It's made up of people from all over the world, because we've seen our stickers and we've seen our logo. And, you know, definitely check out our Beer Army Foundation logo, because, again, we have the dog face in there, and it's awesome. And we just got some Tin Tackers, and I'm so glad that you got the first one to put
that
up in our
awesome.
In the new Beer Army Radio studio here.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's gonna get nicely placed on the wall.
And actually, we'll be debuting the Beer Army Radio logo hopefully next week. Or actually, when this airs, it'll already be out.
By the time you're hearing this, the logo will be up there. You'll be checking it out.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you can link to all the information you need. Stuff we've talked about, we want you to be aware of, can be found there, beerarmy.org. And you'll find it right there in the Beer Army Radio section.
And we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
That's right. Don't forget, hit us up on Facebook at Beer Army Foundation. On Twitter, you can reach us at Beer Army FDTN. On Instagram, Beer Army Foundation. And for those of you that want to see what we do visually with some insanity, hit up Beer Army Productions on YouTube. And of course, you can send your hate mail to radio@beerarmy.org. And the website, of course, is where you can link to all of that, beerarmy.org.
Well, we made it mic-proof. You go to beerarmy.org, we actually created little logos. So you just click on the logo, the Facebook logo, it'll take you right to our Facebook page.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, you know, or Twitter or Instagram.
Great, even I can use it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's mic-proof.
Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Beer Army Engaged. It's Mick Dagger here and the General. We'll catch you next week.
Beer Army Radio.